Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Ken Fallon, and you're listening to today's episode of Hacker Public Radio, which is a community news episode. And for those of you who are tuning in for the first time, we like to do a quick roundtable of what's been going on in the HPR community for the last month. And this month, we're joined by Bobo Vex. How are you doing?
I'm fine, thank you. Hello, everyone.
We'll skip over Cornominal. And how are you, 5150? Are you around?
Yeah, I'm right here, Ken. I can't complain.
Oh, I'm sure you could if you put your mind to it. Then we have, is it K-Wisher or Night Wisher, or what's your handle, K-Wisher?
He's muted.
He's muted, just gonna of course. Listen in. He's just listening in. We got Nido. How are you doing, Nido?
Good evening. Nice to meet you all.
And we've got Pokey, the one and only.
Hey, hello. No, I'm not the one and only. Nito's got another pal named Pokey and a whole other IRC.
Yeah, apparently. That's
in a whole other language, even.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, we have no new hosts to introduce this month. So if we all just think about what that means, that every single person who listens to the show has done a episode, which, of course, is not true because there's about 5,500 people out there who listen and haven't contributed to the show. So please get off your proverbial and send us in a show.
Yes, I agree. Please send us a show. We need them. And we like you.
Cool. So first of all, I want to start off by apologizing to CT for putting his shows in the Thursday queue, which was a bit odd and strange. And as such, they didn't get scheduled very fast at all. But he was very understanding about that and asked me not to apologize to him. So I think we should all now send a heartfelt apology individually to CT for missing up his episode.
I want Pokey to sing the apology.
I'm so sorry that you were Thursday. The end.
Genius.
All right. Yeah, this month, a lot of people, probably not a lot of stuff going on in the main mailing list, but there was definitely a lot going on in the development mailing list this month. So I want to thank everybody who's been contributing over there, and has definitely made my life a lot easier, and also made me think a little bit about the way things are going to go and stuff. Alrighty. So let's, as we do, go through the shows in review, and after...
Before we start, I just want to say to the listener there that is the kind of person who skips the rest of the show once we start the review, don't skip the rest of this one, please. If you want to fast forward through the show reviews, if that's you, that's understandable, but we need to talk about the New Year's Eve show coming up right after that, so please... You know, listen in for that.
Do you want to do that first or not?
No, I think it's probably better if we thank the hosts personally. I mean, they've already done their part.
Yeah, super. We had on 11/12, we had Linux in the Shell, Dan's split episode, and yeah, I personally enjoy this episode. I've used this command quite a lot, and there were a few options in there that I just had to rewind 3 or 4 times. Going, why would anyone ever want to do that? Split them, put them randomly into 3 different. Yeah, it just didn't make any sense to me. But I'm sure somebody has a use case for it.
I like that Dan gave a lot of examples of why you might want to do some of the more obscure stuff. And I don't know if you noticed, Ken, but Klaatu just hopped in the room. What's up, Klaatu?
Hello. How's it going?
It's going grand. We've just started. We're talking about Dan's split command.
I was going to say, yeah, I've used split in the past in real life as well, although not to randomize the splitting that I've done, but I have definitely chopped up things with split. It's a great command. Great episode.
Yeah, it's I've used it quite a bit as well. It's a lot more useful than you would think it would be. You can use it for network packages as well. Send them stuff out if you want exactly that number of bytes going out. Take a big file and just dump it across in that amount of bytes.
And why would you?
Oh, that is cool.
Pardon me?
I didn't mean to walk on Klaatu there. I asked why would you want that? Why would you want to specify the number of or the size of the packets going out over the network?
You want to bombard some web service with a lot of bytes.
Oh, right on.
So then we had 5150 term duck and shell screen and Quake, And I have to thank you. First of all, thanks 5150. But I want to thank you, Pokey, for your comment, which explained what that term ducking was all about.
I was glad I got the joke. I thought it was hilarious. I was like, what in the world is he talking about? And then when I listened to the show, afterwards I got the joke. I didn't get it at first, but yeah, that's great.
Yeah, sometimes my humor can be obscure.
Yeah, but you just come across as this straight-edged sort of guy and then all of a sudden I was going, duh, of course that's what it was.
And I still use it like that every day on the other system.
Seriously?
Yeah, well, not so much the app shell. For some reason, that has not turned out to be as useful as I'd hoped. A lot of times you type, because you can just fire it up and type in install package name, and too much time it comes back to me. So I don't know that package name, and I go into regular terminal and type in sudo aptitude update. You know, bring everything up to date. Sudo aptitude safe raid and then sudo aptitude install whatever and install aptitude install finds the package name just as I typed it. So I don't know. I think maybe and the search function hasn't worked as well as I would like either. So that part I don't use that much, but definitely I use screen inside of Gwake, so I can just have a hit F10. I move mine to F10 to get a terminal, and then one of those terminals is always open into my server. And of course, I'm running screen on the server as well, just as I described. So you know, I got to be careful how deep when I'm screens, how deep I go with the command, so I get the right thing changed.
It's a shame you couldn't use something like Sport. You should try Slackware.
Wow, nice.
Okay, then we had Dude Man Enough podcast, episode 7, A Geek's Journey to Nature. And he's over in the lounge. I wonder if someone could go out and get him and bring him in here.
I'll do it. No, I want to say before I do that. I guess he's here. Whoa. Now.
Good job, 5150. That was prompt.
Heck and hell. As we did that, folks, as we were saying to 5150, go out and get Dude Man, he appeared in the channel instantaneously. And here was 5150 complaining about his crappy internet connection.
Hey, Dude Man, are you around?
Can you tell us more about your cows?
He was going to put some coals on the fire earlier, so he's probably going to back soon.
Cool.
Okay, well, we'll move on anyway. But
loved this episode, though.
Oh, I did too.
Yeah, it was really good. At first, I thought we were getting an episode Farming Weekly. Wondering where on earth it was going, but it was absolutely fascinating to listen to what he had had in his life and the changes that he had made, and to get to where he was now. It was really good. I felt like a bit of a voyeur, though.
But he tricked us all, though.
Right? Yeah,
that was sneaky, wasn't it?
Yeah, we've got to tune in to find out how it ends.
It started so slow, and I was like, oh boy, what is this? But I always give a show, a fair shake, and before it got to the point where I would, fast forward or whatever, it really got interesting real quick.
I nearly lost it at the chasing the chickens and the pigs down the lane for the next door neighbor.
But when he says that, I've done that, where you go out and you find animals running around and you go, oh, thank God they're not ours. Okay, now we can put them in with that attitude of smugness back into the thing. Well, they're not our animals.
Yeah, welcome to my life.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're always yours.
Oh, but if they're yours, that's the problem.
I've actually been onto YouTube and watched some of the videos of him using the scythe, and man, I mean, he's got a really, really good technique.
I've used a scythe as well.
I bet you don't do it as quick as he does.
Yeah, but unlike him, I came from this entire thing from the other side. I was born and raised on a farm, and my entire goal in life was to get off farm as quickly as possible. It's just funny to see a guy, going from a city guy going back to the farm. It's funny to see it the other way.
Yeah, I have to say, this is one of those shows makes you really want to go out and get the rest of the episodes.
Yeah, I did that all right. I subscribed to his show, obviously.
Yeah, I agree. I definitely wanted to sort of then find out more about what else had happened.
Okay, let's move on. Hopefully, we'll have Dude Man back on shortly. We had episode 1115, Talk Deep Geek News, Deep Geek, and Deep Geek is, Paul King, can you give us an update on what's going on with Deep Geek there?
Not really. I he asked for some volunteers. He asked if anybody wanted to help read some stories and help out with the show a bit. And I really like Talk Geek to Me News, and I didn't want to see it go away, so I volunteered to read some stories for him. And that's really, that's all that's really happened. I've read a few stories and I send them off to him. He's still in charge of it and doing all the editing and picking the stories and such. I just asked him for a script basically. So, I'm not doing any of the work. I'm just reading a script. So it's not, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, it's good that you've taken over that. It was nice to hear another voice on, this is on 11:30, which, so as you're listening to this, it was yesterday's episode, so probably quite a lot of people even here on this this call here haven't heard the episode. And by the way, if you want to join into the community news, you don't have to have listened to all the shows. You just come along, and if you don't want to talk about a show, just mute yourself for that. So then we had more of a boring episode, 1116.
Skip that one.
Nobody wants to hear about this.
Did that one just go on and on forever?
God, the guy would not shut up. Whew.
Wait a minute, no. Which one was this?
This one, the bad host.
The interview with Richard Stallman.
Okay.
No,
RMS wasn't problem.
No, he wasn't.
It was Pokey. He hasn't prepared himself at all.
I have to say, I mean, that's a joke, obviously, but I have to say that I thought what Pokey did, and I don't know how many people in here saw, but on the mailing list, I think it was in the mailing list or the IRC channel, I think it was the mailing list, he emailed everyone and said, hey,
both,
I'm going to go,
actually.
Okay, I'm going to interview RMS, pitch me some questions, and I mean, I think that turned out really well, at least from the listener standpoint. Did you think that was a good idea, Pokey? Did that work for you? It seemed like it did.
It really worked great. My only regret was that I didn't even think of it at the time. I should have written down whose questions they were so I could have given credit at the time, because it seems like I, came up with all these great questions and I didn't.
No, I don't think it matters. It didn't matter at all. One thing that I did like about the show was that there was plenty of time for him to go on about everything. And I know Door Geek actually commented on this in his show. But and I know it was by accident on your side, but it was really nice to hear him having the time, not being badgered or not being hit with a stick, but being also hit with nice, good, hard questions that he could give a good answer to.
I will say that I did not expect, I mean, I know Pokey, I love Pokey. I didn't expect this episode to be as good as it was, because, I mean, I just felt up until this interview, I felt that RMS had been interviewed. Like I'd heard everything RMS possibly could say. I've been to his two talks of his in real life. I've heard a dozen talks online. I just figured it had all been talked about already, but that was not the case. I found this to be a very good, very good interview with someone who really we've all heard before and thought we knew everything about already.
I agree. When I was listening to this episode, having listened and seen some of Richard Stallman's online, he can be very domineering, and there was almost a danger that actually, he could have completely made the interviewer, Pokey, sort of feel that he wasn't up to the job, but he didn't do that at all. So Pokey, really did well as the interviewer on this as well.
Well, thank you. I went into it with the mindset I wasn't going to make it a adversarial interview. I really wanted to hear what he had to say, and I planned on giving him plenty of time to say everything that he had to say, but there was a technical glitch on his end where if we both keyed up at the same time, his speakers fed directly back into his microphone, and it seemed like it was even electrically before it got to the speakers. It came right back at me, and it was unbearable to listen to, and he was using like the push to talk when you hit it and it stays and the mic stays open. He was using that. So I literally had to wait for him to turn his mic back off. So a couple of times there was a little bit of a pause, a little bit of silence that you wouldn't have noticed because I edited out, where he would start talking again, where normally I would have come in with another question or something. And that was the accident that Ken had referred to. But it really worked in our favor this time.
I think that generally... Sorry, go ahead, 51.
You realize, Pokey, we're going to expect an interview like this at least 3-4 times a year from now on.
Here, here.
I tried to... Well, what was... Classy, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was just going to comment. Usually, or I think it's my belief that a good interview is one where the interviewer doesn't really talk that much.
Yeah, I agree. No, I had planned on doing a couple more, and I was trying to get with one guy to do one who was completely off the radar that picks up Richard Stallman, but I thought it would have been fun, but we're just having a hard time getting together.
Okay, well, well done, Pokey. Seriously,
good thanks. Job. It's, you know what, I as much as I want to do a good job in any show that I put out, the what really makes me feel good is if I, and it happened this time, it seemed to anyway, is if I put out a show and, you know, a week or so later, you know, a bunch more shows come in, that is really fantastic. And there are certain hosts when they post shows that seems to happen. And you know, it's happened to me like twice now, and it's really a good feeling when that happens.
Fantastic. Okay, so the following day we had the Wayback Machine, the SDF.org, and this is in my bill and the guys. Do any of you have an SDF account?
Yeah, I do. I've been a member since, for years. It was, I think that might have been my first experience on a real live pure Unix box, if I'm not mistaken.
I do now. I didn't before.
Yeah, I set one up a few weeks ago, but it was after Pod Brewers, and we're kind of state of inebriation. So I'm hoping I get back into it once I decide to go play with it again.
That was through Navigum and my bill. We already had JPW on about the STF. It would have been say 500 shows ago or so. So yeah, we have covered this before, but it's always good to be reminded of it. I did sign up for this, and I paid the subscription, but I haven't gone through the acknowledgement process or whatever that needs to happen.
Yeah, I'm intrigued that you can use it for port tunneling. I've got such a slow connection at home, it do me no good to run anything through my home network. Might give me something I could use in an insecure location away from home.
That's exactly what I used to use it for, 5150.
I was really intrigued by you can host photos on there and like link to them. I was really intrigued by that and a couple other things, but that's a good one.
Oh, I can use that because I'm out of space on my free server.
I'm more interested in using it to get to websites that would be, it isn't really appropriate, but as a bastion host for getting into my own network. So I give IP address restrictions to certain IP addresses, and then from there, connect on there back home so that you block, you know, you're able to access home via SSH, but it can only come from a certain range of IP addresses so that you don't get all these people trying to crack your network all the time.
That's a good idea. Never thought of that.
Oh, that is really awesome,
that is,
Ken.
That's excellent.
You don't do that?
No.
Never thought of it.
Never thought of it myself.
No. Okay. I do restrict access to some people, to other people, to my servers when they need to upload stuff there. But for myself, I restrict myself to using a SSH certificate rather than a password. And that's usually sufficient security.
Yeah, but if you check your logs, I still see, if I put anything up on 22, port 22, I see loads of people trying to connect in over
there.
That's
the best I do, is just change the external port.
Change the external port, but I also like just completely block SSH from accepting anything from any connection other than my local network and a few, 3 or 4 different hosts that are around the internet.
Yeah, see, I do something that's completely different, and it could probably come into conflict with it. I use fail to ban, which if there's 3 failed login attempts, it blocks that address. It may block the whole domain, I'm not sure.
No, you could still use that because, I mean, you're still going to do that, and then you get in. If you don't get in on that machine, you can switch to your other machine or wherever and try from there.
True, but that would limit the ability to log into your whole network.
Yeah, exactly. If there were 3, if someone tried to get into it and they were using SDF and that were my only external gateway, you know, in, then they could, you know, that would in effect restrict me from getting in remotely.
Yeah, but if you're doing this blocking, you need to make sure to have 3 or so machines.
Okay, yeah, it's good thinking. Okay.
True, so, but other people can connect from the same IP address as the SDF host. Am I not correct?
Well, you block, say, if you don't have anybody who has access, has an SDF account, could get in, obviously, but if it's your VPS machine out on the internet and you're the only person who has access to that machine, then yes, that IP address range can access in, but you've gone from millions of IP addresses down to a few hundred of possible people.
That's true, but if you combine that with a fail to ban, then you run the possibility of getting a denial of service attack in people trying to get access to those IP addresses and try to run false passwords, so you cannot log in yourself anymore.
Yeah, but that's fair enough. But only one of the machines will be this machine, and the other one will be my VPS. How would somebody get onto my VPS in the first place?
Well, they could pretty much legitimately look like traffic from your VPS from a node within that same network.
Yeah, but Nido, they would need to know attack, all the machines. Agree, but
yeah,
If they're doing that, it's something you need to worry about, unless you have somebody who really, really hates you.
Yeah, if it's that targeted and they know that much about you and about networking, and they're getting it anyway.
All they have to do.
Self target Ken Fallon.
All you have to do is look at kenfallon.org. You've got my full home email postal address there. Just slap it into Google Earth. Come up to the door sometime you know I'm at work and walk on in.
Yeah, glad to remember.
I'd rather do that sometime when you're not at work.
Yeah, and if I get robbed, do you know where I'm going to be sending the police?
Glad to when
you are not at work, when you are at home.
Okay, fair enough.
Anyways. If you come to my house when I'm home, I'm opening a beer for you.
Definitely. Is that anywhere in Europe?
No.
That's a long way for me to come.
It's a bit difficult. Pretty far.
I do,
but you're welcome to come here.
Hello, thank you very much. I've just got back. Sorry if I missed the beginning.
No, we were just rambling on about how good your episode was on episode 1114.
I'm immediately friends with people when they say something nice. Thanks.
Oh, well, I liked it too then.
Yeah, well, I've got another one planned for tomorrow, which is on programming. And I did one a few weeks ago on hacking as well, with an interesting twist to it.
Very, very cool. How many episodes are you up to?
Unlucky 13, but I'm going to remedy that tomorrow.
Nice.
And we're also joined by ArtV61. If you want to say hello, you can. If not, just don't.
Oh, he wanted to and couldn't.
The joys of push-to-talk. Okay, where were we? My first brush with loss, Doom, which I think a lot of people, this was one of the how I got into Linuxy type of things, and this was a new vector that I hadn't come across before, actually.
It's an interesting way to see how people get to the philosophy through different means other than just trying to hack the computer they have together and whatever the default way is to get to this point.
Yeah, and I guess it's a perfectly legitimate way when I was listening to it. Yeah, Doom obviously was an open source game, so of course people would use that. That would introduce people to Linux. I know last year we had quite a lot of the how I got into Linux stories, and I'd love to hear some more stories from other people. So please, if you're teetering on the edge, think about sending us in one of those shows. I always find them interesting. Don't know about the rest of you.
Hey, if you want more, Ken, one fella's got an interesting approach to that. He listens in to other shows on Mumble and then ambushes people when they're done and gets them to tell us how they found Linux.
Obviously a genius.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Ambush is the right word as well.
Yes, yes. No pressure, obviously, no pressure on anyone to do that.
No pressure. Talk now.
Then the interview, the pain is over. You've done your first episode, and it's everything's just better from then on. Anyways, 1119 was spreading the word, was CT, and inspirational stories from on the road. And this one actually was just so annoying that I had left this in the queue for ages. And you have to remember, people, when you send in the shows, I have a policy of not listening to them. So I don't know, I won't know unless you tell me in the show notes about whether it's a syndicated Thursday or a main queue or whatever. So feel free to actually edit and put some notes for me in the show notes, please. So again, apologies, CT, for that.
Was this the guy that did it whilst he was driving? The episode whilst he was driving?
Yep.
Yes.
It always amazes me how he can like talk constantly and concentrate on what he's doing.
He's from Sweden, so they have long roads up there.
What, with no other traffic? Because I would be effing and cheffing at all the other users.
Very important thing, if anyone's going to Sweden and they tell you it's only 5 kilometers up the road, their kilometer is 100 kilometers, yes? So, just so you know that.
I've seen, this has happened a couple times where a show got into the wrong queue. So if people are going to send in shows, you know, don't be afraid to write one complete sentence just specifically stating this is for the normal queue, or, you know, this is for the syndicated Thursday queue, because sometimes there seems to be, you know, a little bit of confusion if somebody interprets an email wrong. So if you could put something in there that's very clear like that, that could help, you know, not have this happen to your show.
And also, don't be afraid to send in, where is my show? Especially, give it a week normally after you upload it, especially if there's enough shows in the queue and you're not a new host, give it a week, because I have life as well, and I usually process the shows on a evening when my wife is working. So so if it hasn't sort of gone into the queue by the Saturday, feel free to give me a ping. And if you haven't heard if your show has suddenly disappeared after 2 weeks or so, definitely send us an email.
Yeah, I think the two times that I've seen it happen, that I remember it happening, were people who would send in a show and they would say something like, I do a media project over here and I decided to put this together for HPR, and it kind of sounded like it was meant to be a syndicated show, but, you know, a sentence saying, this is not something that we've, even if you just say this is not a syndicated show, it hasn't aired yet, you know, and we'll know for sure.
Yeah, perfect, yeah. And actually, that is more or less the occasions which it occurs. Episode 1120 was an interview I did with Jerome Le, and I'm not going to butcher his name any more than I already have, about the Razor QT project. And I think in this month there were two examples of an interview doing well and an interview done very badly by the interviewer. And I think I got the short straw this month.
No, I disagree. I like.
No, he was really easy to interview, but I found myself being very negative about the whole KDE desktop, because I happened to be on my Wise machine doing the recording at the time, and it kept popping up every 5 seconds with, do you want to update? No. Do you want to update? No. And it was getting extremely frustrating, and I was getting a lot of feedback also tonight, because there's a MySQL database running for no reason. I have no idea why. So I was being very negative, but in fairness to Jerome, he was very, very, very respectful of the KDE community, which of course I should be as well, because they do a great, great project.
Well, I was very interested in this content, because this machine I'm working on now, I've got the original version they released of Razor QT, and that reminds me I need to go back and see if I can update it or put this new version on. There were just a couple things, because it was a very, very young desktop that I kind of needed and weren't there. I use an external monitor, so I have multiple monitors, and one thing it's got in KDE that they didn't is if you know, a window gets moved off the monitors where it's not on either one, I can right click and say move and grab it and drag it back to some place I could see it. And that's the one thing the original Razor didn't have. That's probably the only reason I'm not running it.
I think that's fixed now.
Didn't we have a show last month or the month before from the guys who did the database that replaces MySQL?
Yeah, Miranda DB.
Thank you.
Maria.
Sorry, Maria, yes.
Now, can you just drop that in and uninstall the MySQL?
Yeah, but the point is, why should a desktop be running MySQL at all? Especially when I'm not using any of it's there to do this
desktop. Email, isn't it?
But I'm not even using KDE either, and I'm not using a PIM manager. I'm not using KMail. I'm not using a PIM manager. I've gone through the list of all the things that I'm not using on my KDE desktop. And the Anaconda thing still, or not Anaconda, but that's Anuk.
Akonadi.
That's the one. Yeah, it continues to run. I've followed the bug reports. I have this problem too, and it still is running, and I can't remove it, can't stop it, and it happens to be on my wife's machine, and I'm going to switch it over sometime.
Why can't you remove it? What's depending on it?
If you remove MySQL, the whole KDE desktop disappears. It's all compiled in, which is why on my laptop I switched to Razer QT, and I've got that KDE look and feel that I like. And I've got the configurability that I like as well. In fact, more configurability than I actually would like, because you have to do a lot more on the files than you normally would. But it's a lightning fast desktop and really, really slick.
Nice, nice.
If I may ask, is it really also the MySQL server package which it depends on, or is it really only the MySQL client part?
No, the database, the server.
Okay.
So I understand what KDE has been trying to do. It's been an interesting project, but to be honest, it goes against the Unix philosophy of doing each task, doing a small job and doing it well. So in Razer QT,
Klaatu, fight!
No, I've been very silent right now because everything Ken is saying I basically agree with. I don't want to get into this right now. I can't comment too much on it, but... Yeah, this Nepomuk Akonadi thing is just like, I don't know. In my mind, it's a little bit of a travesty. Might drive me away from KDE eventually.
And they, not to go on a rant, but hey, why not? I see people complaining about it, long-standing KDE users and long-standing KDE supporters. And in fairness, I know Klaatu stuck with KDE through the whole 4 move. But the philosophy is completely just,
if you're looking for something that respects that, like you said, the Unix philosophy, the modularity thing, then I don't think it's an argument that KDE is where you should be looking. So I'm really happy to see that Razer Qt could be the place that, I end up in later on. I'm going to probably, because of your interview, I'll probably be trying Razer Qt on my Triple EPC, which I haven't really been running KDE on anyway. I've been doing Fluxbox, so maybe this is time to kind of look for another Qt-based solution, because I love Qt. I don't know if I can handle the monolith that is KDE on all of my devices.
And it's still running Razer. I can still have access to Kate and various different things without any hassle. Anyway, but enough about that. We had the following 11:21, Klaatu continues his networking series on Samba How To, and I'm very glad, Klaatu, that you brought back this series.
Yeah, long running series, I guess, just as I learn new stuff. But the Samba thing, I figured, was a good basic how to on something that's kind of important in the Linux world, file sharing.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's on all platforms, and even if you're a Unix user, if you've got a complete Linux house at home, because Samba is aware that the sender and receiver are Unix, it will cut out a lot of the, it'll shortcut a lot of the protocols and go to a very fast Linux solution.
Yeah, and I really want to compliment you, Klaatu, on your explanation was a lot more straightforward and simple than many of them that I've seen and heard.
That's probably because I don't know as much, but yeah, cool. Glad I'm simple.
I will second that, because I have tried to understand Samba before. It's always been something I've wanted to do and I've wanted to get into, but any description of it I've read online is... I can't understand it at all, and I understood the show real well, and I'm gonna put this one up there next to the Source Trunk episode this month of the what was the server he went over, the Simple DLNA or something like that. These two things look like they could really work together to in my house.
Yes, but don't ruin it for me. I haven't listened to the Source Trunk episode yet, so give me a minute. Klaatu, there is one thing that you should probably know, is that you can tie in a Samba password database into the Unix database, so that when they change a password on one, it's automatically transferred to the other.
Oh, I didn't know that. I'll have to look into that. Thank you.
That sounds like a show, Ken.
It would be if I had managed to do it more than once.
Well, if I figure it out, it'll be an addendum. Sorry, go ahead, Nita.
If I'm not mistaken, the data, the password database as used by Samba is constructed in the same way as /etc/shadow. So I think if you just point it to that file, you are done.
Cool. I'll look into it. Because I think you're, I mean, I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure it's the same syntax.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I wouldn't guarantee that. Because when I looked at it, there was, you needed to load a PAM module, PAM Samba or something.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Well, yeah. I'll look into
Warning
it.
To whoever's doing this is do a little bit more research. Sorry, I just raise the flag that it might be possible.
Well, that's been my problem.
I'm not saying you should do that and then use the password manager from the Samba to change your own password and stuff like that. I'm thinking that it's the same format and you could be do it that way, but in that case you really shouldn't do the password changes from the Samba side. If you want to do that, then using a PAM module is indeed a way better approach.
My problem with file sharing has always been I can not getting it set up, but exchanging the shared key. For some reason I can never get that to work right, so I can't set up a file share in my etcs tab. I always have to just do it in a terminal manually once I'm logged in.
For what type of share?
Well, I usually use SSHFS, but if I'm dragging and dropping files, I take the easy way out and use Gigolo.
Okay, you should need, for the first part, you need to do SSH-copy-ID, and then the IP address, username at IP address, and that will copy your ID files over for your pre-shared key. Takes the pain out of that. And for the second
one, has it. I've come across some distros that don't ship SSH copy ID.
Okay, well, Aptitude install it. And for the second one, can you please do an episode on Gigolo?
Well, I've been meaning to do one on SSHFS and Gigolo. I've been trying to figure out my shared keys problem, so it would be complete.
If you want, I can give you a hand offline on that one.
Okay, we'll have to do that sometime.
Super duper.
Yeah, my problem with file sharing has always been that I don't have anyone to share files with.
Oh, so sad.
Isn't it?
You can probably share it with Richard Stallman.
Maybe.
What kind of files do you want to share?
Oh, I actually don't. I would just like to back up some stuff that I, you know, keep losing.
If you want, Pokey, yeah, let's talk offline. Okay, so
not those files, Ken. I can't share those.
So long as it's encrypted, I don't care.
That's breaking international laws there.
There you go. Over here, everything's legal, hey, Nito?
Well, not everything, sadly.
Okay. 11.22 was Linux in the shell with the ln command. And again, I thought at the beginning of this, there is nothing Dan can tell me about this command that I don't already know. And yet again, he proves me wrong.
This one was awesome. I listened to this twice.
I feel kind of angry at Dan because, yes, technically speaking, like if you think about it, all he does is like read the man page really, really carefully, a lot more carefully than any of us have. And then he explains it all, and it seems like he's telling us this brand new information, and it is brand new information. But I feel like he's cheating or something. But man, I love this information.
You're just mad because he thought of it first.
Exactly.
Well, I've read a lot of man pages without fully understanding what they were telling me, and
I don't know how he parses all that information.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. This is exactly that.
Well, I liked in this when it got towards the end. He says, "Well, here's the option to argument to do this. You're never ever and you're going to use this. No one needs to do this. Yeah, this is how you would do it."
Yeah, classic. So let's move on. And doing a segue, move bike computers. Now, tell me this, American folk on the line, is that phrase a segue a well-known thing in the States before the segue bike things that you stand on happened, or was that just a regular term that was in use anyway?
In music, it was pretty well-known. So in that community, I think everyone knows it. I don't know about, like, outside world of me.
Well, I think it'd be fairly common in broadcasting.
I don't remember anything that far back. There was drugs back then.
Okay, but there was Move by computer. Sorry, go ahead.
Dude Man was asking what the Segway bike thing you're talking about. Not really a bike, Dude Man. It's the thing with the two wheels next to each other, and it auto balances itself with gyros and stuff, and people use it to replace walking.
Yeah, because that's what we Americans need to do. We can't be bothered to walk. We don't need that kind of exercise.
You can say that again.
Yeah, but you see it at the people who are on them tend to be at airports and stuff. And they tend to have a lot of firearms, so you tend to go, your first instinct is go, oh, look at the stupid person on the Segway, and then your next instinct is to look away calmly and sheepishly.
I can't look at them ever since I saw Ricky Gervais on one.
Am I the only one here who doesn't know who Ricky Gervais is?
Yes, probably.
I have no idea.
I know somebody who has a Segway, and she actually uses it for a practical purpose, and I can't really bag on her too bad for using it, because she uses it to ride about 2.5 miles to work, you know, and not drive a car or, you know, and she does ride a bicycle sometimes, but, you know, she uses this thing too.
About a year ago, I saw one that it was a prototype, was a single-wheeled unicycle deal, and it folded up about the size of a briefcase, and if you hit the button, the wheel would drop out of the bottom of the briefcase, and then both sides would fold down, and you would stand on that and go.
And for those of you who are not up, Ricky Gervais is the guy who did the English version of The Office, and who did the Emmys, not the Emmys, what was the other one that isn't the Emmys, but
Academy
the Oscars.
Awards.
Not the Oscars, yep. The other ones, the international press one.
The Academy Awards.
No, they're the Oscars.
Well, I mean, I thought he did do the Academy Awards and made everybody mad this last year.
Yeah, he did. He was really offensive and was really rude about Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, wasn't he?
Yes, but it wasn't the Academy Awards. It was the other one that isn't the Academy Awards.
The Podcast Awards.
No, Brad, you're making...
Don't we continue to the episode?
No, we are not moving forward until we know what the other...
It says BAFTA, Golden Globe, Emmy, Rose d'Or, Screen Actors Guild. Those are the only ones that Wikipedia knows about.
Yeah, it's the Screen Actors Guild one.
Okay,
No, it's not. It's the Golden Globes or something. He has the Golden Globes. That's not quite the Oscars, but... Anyway, he made a handbag of himself on this war. He'd never come back, and then he was back the next year doing it as well. But moving on, yes, about the episode Move by Computer. It was about GPS tracking hills on hills and hikes and stuff. And I actually use another app called Open GSM Tracker. Does anyone use that one?
I use it on an almost daily basis.
Do you know?
Yeah, I'm constantly tracking. Well, I shouldn't say every day. I use it at least once a week, sometimes two or three times a week. I stopped using it on a daily basis because my tracks were beginning to be redundant and useless. But every time I go in the woods, I turn it on. I use it for navigation, and when I get home, I upload the tracks and I edit the OpenStreetMap. I'm a big advocate of that.
You're the man. You are the man. The following day, we had 11/24, which was Pod Brewers episode 35. And this was with Becky's favorite host.
Yeah, Voice Like Chocolate by a Brown.
And the following day we had Talk Geek to Me News 11/25. And then we had another one with CT, the Drupal Camp of Adam Evertson.
Before you get too far, I just want to say that Pod Brewers episode was real, real good. And I'm going to have to burn that to a CD for a friend of mine who brews his own beer. Because I think that's worth the six-pack.
I want the beer bread recipe.
There is a whole website, folks. I mean, there's more than just the one episode.
No, right on. But I'm going to use that episode to turn the guy on to it.
I particularly like the... You go ahead, 51.
I just wanted to say, next month we'll be talking about a new series that a buyer has started and contributing to HPR called Scanner Drome, where he interviews scientific authors, talks about sci-fi on the web, etc.
Very cool.
Word.
Okay, that's good to know. That was what I was wanted to say was I particularly like the rundown of the various different terms involved in brewing. at least home brewing. And I think there's a lot of jargon actually that's you when you get into any particular area you need to pick up to even know where to start.
Neato, thanks for coming on, man. We're sorry to hear that you're not feeling good, dude.
Okay. See you, Neato. Sorry that you can stay on, dude.
Yeah, sorry. He just posted in the text message that he's not feeling well. He's going to sign off. But it was good to have you.
Okay, the following day we had... Did I just skip on?
Yeah, well, the Drupal camp.
Yes, Drupal camp. Anyone use Drupal?
A little bit.
It was a... Yeah, I thought it was an interesting episode. Yeah, don't really use Drupal myself, so... But there you go. The following day we had AFP file share and another one in Clat2 series. To be honest, I have no interest in this. I never will be setting up an AFP file share.
I have no interest in this, but it was important to get it out there. I just had to disclose the stuff that I knew about this thing. It's horrible, though.
I have to admit, I almost skipped it, and I mostly
you should have. You could have. It's fine.
And I mostly slept through it, but I got to admit the guilty pleasure. I listened to it just to feel smug.
Nice. I can appreciate that.
Listened to it long enough so that if ever I do come across an AFP file share, I at least know something about it and have enough information to Google about what it is that I need to do.
Well, yeah, and there's... Go ahead.
It reminded me of my own troubles with AFP. This few years, I think, when the first version of OS X 10.1 came out, suddenly at the school, none of the Macintoshes would talk to the server, the Windows server anymore. And well, I guess we couldn't. They go on, you couldn't open a file. And I found out that. Even though it was an update, that Apple blamed it on Windows no longer supporting their file format. It must have been when we put in the new stuff. it's been too long ago, but I mean that they got in a tiff with each other, and suddenly the way I had of accessing, getting the Mac access to Windows Server no longer worked. And when I did get them working again, you could no longer just open a file from within N9 and open the file and that lived on the shared folder on the server, edit it, and then close the file. It would always you could edit it, but it wouldn't save when you closed it. And
isn't that great? Isn't that great, 5150, how you can just completely yank the rug out from under someone's feet and convince everyone else in the room that person forgot how to walk?
Right, and the trouble is the third party in this. This, you know, it just blew me away that they would even say this to me. I go to Adobe, and Adobe says, no, you can't open a file on a shared volume with our software. If you want to edit a file, you have to copy it to the local computer, open it there, and manipulate it, and then X program, and then save it back to the server. And of course, that would be fine for a user like me and you, but these were high school kids. They didn't know from opening a file on a server. They didn't even realize the files were not there locally. Well, they kind of did, but explaining to them, no, you got to get this file. And I think when they until they quit trying to use the Mac years later, they were just doing everything on the local machine.
Okay, that is amazing. Anyway, we'll move off the AFP file share with the hope that we will never ever have to come across it again.
it's astonishing how incredibly long these descriptions of Apple just working are.
Okay. I challenge anyone to the following episode was Compilers Part 4, which was a Sigflug episode. And
way over my head.
Oh, so far over my head.
I picked up one or two of the things she was I didn't understand a majority of it, and I think that's okay because I'm not writing compilers. But I picked up one or two of the math things she was talking about, and I felt so smart for a minute.
Yeah, I did guess... You know, some of the words, it was like as if you were learning a language, you go to a foreign country and you've done a little bit of their, you know, first time ever been in France, for instance, picking up a few words and you kind of have an idea of what she's talking about. But I know from talking to other people about this episode, I got a lot of feedback on this episode, and you know, people are saying, you know, the really fantastic episode, really explaining it very well. So I guess if you're in the zone there, she knows what she's doing.
I will say about Sigflup that, you know, if there were an award for the HPR host who can pack the most amount of content in the least amount of time, that's her. Her shows are so dense with, you know, pure information.
And for those of you following along there, she has JPEGs in the episode, so she has very good show notes, unlike some other people who have contributed to shows this month.
I wonder who you're talking about.
What, you want a picture of Richard Stallman?
No, Richard Stallman's one was fine. Anyway, the next day we had a show by a Paranoid Shell, How I Got Into Linux, a spontaneous episode that we voluntarily did without any coaxing, whatever, or encouragement on my part.
You did an amazing job of editing out all of the background noise of the horse whip.
Thank you. But seriously, it's that easy. Just go on to Mumble, press the record button, and then, you know, email in your recorded episode. And then for the last show of the month, we had Deep Geek, Talk Geek to Me News, featuring the voice of no other than Pokey. So that was it for the shows for this month.
And I gotta shake a fist at Deep Geek, because I swear there was at least three stories that he had me read for this one that he only chose for the tongue twisters.
And I was listening to it going, he is just saying off those, you know, German words, and he has the pronunciation perfect, and it just flows straight through. And, you know, there, anybody who will say that, you know, Americans are not able to, you know, speak foreign languages properly or enunciate their words or whatever is, you know, it goes out the window, you know, yet another stereotype blown out of the water. Well done, Pokey.
Not true at all.
that's editing was involved.
Blatant Pokey. Lies. Yeah, each one of those, each sentence was probably 5 to 6 takes. And I can cheat a little with German, because back in high school, we had a couple of German exchange students living with us, so I got some of the pronunciation down, some of the sounds that are, you know, not in the English language at all. And so when I read German words, I can kind of hear those. But I think I mispronounced, you know, a couple of the reporters' names and stuff easily. I faked that completely.
No, you did. You did great. You did a great job.
Is Deep Geek looking for other people to contribute or to read stories?
Yeah, female voice especially would be fantastic.
What, female English?
Yeah.
Well, you can't have everything.
Bobo, they're also looking, Bobo Bex, they're also looking on the DistroWatch podcast always for narrators.
Really?
Yes, really.
Definitely. See, I'm quite happy. I can talk about other people's shit. It's just my own I can't talk about.
Yeah, reading stuff off's easy.
Dude, man.
Yeah, I was going to say, as helping Bruce for the last few months doing the Distro Watch, that I'm sure Bruce and I would be very happy to share our alternate week cycle with however many other people want to help and contribute. So, you know, contact me or Bruce, absolutely no problem if you want to read stuff out. We can pick the most difficult parts out if you want to help us on with just one little part, or by all means take a whole episode and just read it out. I mean, a lot of people don't actually realize that the shows are actually just read out, you know, from the online content. I certainly didn't in the beginning. So we don't want to let too much of the magic out, but anyone can do it, basically.
See, that's something that I would be really interested in doing, because I do like the English language and I do like reading, and that way I can feel that I'm probably contributing something back. So where would I contact you if I wanted to speak about that?
Here on Hacker Public Radio is a great place. No, I'm serious. There's one coming up on Monday, and it's my turn. And if you would like to help me and Kay Quisher on it, or even do it all yourself, I'd be very happy to offload it. Although I very much enjoy doing it, it's great to carry on doing it and to have more time to do even other projects as well. So I can speak to you after this and give you my contact details.
Yeah, okay, I'll speak after this.
And remember, Bobovex, that Mr. Chuckless Voice himself is also a contributor to that project.
Shush, my husband's listening.
It's okay.
See that, books, HPR, making friends and influencing people. You can get in on this.
Okay, we'll quickly just nip through some of the stuff that's been going on the mailing list before we get on to HPR.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, what? Why? What's wrong?
He's unmuted.
I was going
to... your names. I've got your numbers.
But you don't have the price of the flight to get over as far as this. And speaking of which,
cyber attacks, Ken, cyber attacks. Hey, Becky, let me clue you in on a little secret here. We nerds don't know a lot of girls, even though we really like girls. So you could pretty much do anything you want in this community. Just say it.
Oh, don't give me carte blanche. No, no, seriously. I mean, I married my geek.
I'm not giving you carte blanche. I'm telling you it's there. It exists.
Just so you know, Becky's not a girl. She's a lady.
Right on.
You're such she's a funny a fucker.
Lady. Whoa, 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 she's a lady. Okay.
Why did I have to sing the Thursday apology? Ken, you're a better singer already.
I have a long-standing, I don't know, I'm a singer already. Irish singer, actually.
He can dance as well. Oh,
no,
tell you.
No, dance, not so much.
But, you did. That was brilliant.
No.
This year.
How many dollar bills did he collect?
Moving on. The development mailing list has been pretty active this month with the audio submissions page Epicanus, not to be mixed up with Anus, has been working on the audio submission page, and we've been kind of going back and forth as well on that about what we want on there. And Bobo Bex, we would appreciate your input shortly as to how simple we can make it. So I think we've gone to the extreme where it's gotten too complex and we're pulling it back. But also we had I had a long discussion last month on Mumble as well, which we recorded with Dave Morris about what the whole eventual system is going to be. And I think talking through that with Dave has clarified it somewhat in my mind. And I'm actually interested to listen to the show to see if my opinion of what I said at the time has changed or not. But so that was it. That was the audio submissions page. There was some questions about the download figures and what they are. When the queue started going a bit low, I was also working on the transcoding tool, which CodeCruncher started off, and I've done quite a lot of work on that, so that based on help from Klaatu, based on help from Dan Moshko, based on help from Nido, who's just left, and also Cobra, Cobra 32, isn't it? Is this?
Two.
Cobra 2, yeah. Who've all given me...
He got in on Cobra. He got in on being Cobra early.
Well, they've given me all of those people have given me lots of advice on what the best way forward is. So what we're doing, and Bubba Bex, you can close your ears for this because this is development section.
That's okay.
We're transcoding from whatever we get in to a well-known format, and from there we can transcode down to the other formats quite easily. And as a result of doing that, I was looking at where is the metadata going to come from, and I think Epicanus and myself were thinking, well, we put it in the upload form, but now we're actually thinking, well, if we steal it from the uploaded media file as opposed to the uploaded form, that way if somebody knows how to fill it in, they'll fill it in, and if somebody doesn't know how to fill it in, well, we'll have enough basic stuff in the upload form to be able to do it. We also, as a result of working on that, I've found a way to identify if the intro and outro have been put in by using a Sox has a way to, you know, that waveform thing, the spectrograph you can get in Audacity. Well, in Audacity, it's a waveform, but
yeah.
From Sox, you can actually get a JPEG out showing, you know, the waveform, and it becomes very obvious when looking at one of them whether the intro or outro is in. And the reason, go ahead.
That is brilliant. That is astonishingly brilliant.
Well, it's kind of handy because with the intro and outro, people like to put, some people, not pointing my finger at you, virtually pokey, like to mess around with the intro and outro and not put it 7 seconds from the front and 7 seconds from the back. So you end up putting two intros in or two outros in because you've you've listened to it for a second and there's been text, or you've listened to it for a second and there's been, sorry, speech. So with that, what, so I've written this.
Could not throw away that Stallman line.
Absolutely not. No, absolutely not. And it was classic because I got Thistleweb from the Cruvens podcast asking me, so you're releasing it in MP3. Stallman doesn't like MP3. And then I go, listen to the first few seconds of the podcast.
Yeah, he had me rolling on the floor with that. That was, I don't know if he meant it to be funny or not, but it was.
Yeah, it's classic. He you know, people don't realize this, he's a funny guy, but you just, when you're not beating him with a stick, he can be a funny guy. It's, yeah. I had seen him in the Netherlands as well, and he also had plenty of time in the after session. You know, there was no rush, and he was just a funny, relaxed guy. Okay, so what I was going to say was that with the transcoding thing, what I'm going to do is have quite a lot of try and simplify the upload form, so it's more like it feels more like sending an email into HPR. So the subject line is the title, and you know, a little summary, and just whatever your show notes is going to be, and send in the upload. And then if people want to send in a more detailed thing, they'll send in a FLAC file with all the fields encoded in it, and then we'll take it from there. And that way, when we do the initial check for new files coming into the whichever location they're going to be coming in, then the pre-processing will, you know, virus check, do check to make sure that it's an audio file, do the media info check to see what audio tracks there are, and then it'll compile a really compressed small SOX version of the entire show, send that to us, and then send a segment probably halfway through podcast just to get the audio quality in. And we'll also send a JPEG image of the spectrograph so that you can, you know, the mailing list that will be, you know, checking this, the human check in this whole thing, at least, will be able to look at the JPEG and go, okay, the intro and outro are in there. I can have a quick listen to the audio sample, you know, a 5-second sample of the audio. Is the audio okay? And then just a quick scan through the speaks file that you know, a small speaks file, just to see that the content isn't spam outside of the 5 seconds that somebody would know because they've gone to the website and found out what it is. Some other stuff. There was a discussion about bedding music, which I think you, Dude Man, also use quite a bit.
Yeah, I've got this kind of soothing bird, cow.
I don't find music. It soothing.
Soothing cows.
I hate cows. I listen back to it. Birds.
I would like to find a way to put it as a backing track for all the podcasts I listen to, you know.
Very good, very good. But yes, the if you want to use the backing track, that's fine. If you don't, that's fine too. Just remember,
but some of us appreciate it when you don't.
Yes, some of us who speed up our podcasts and have listened in mono definitely appreciate it. Yes, a big thanks to all the people who sent in shows for this month. We've got, I think, 4 free slots before the end of the year. So congratulations, Hacker Public Radio lives for another year.
And the Doomsday Show is being recorded on the 31st.
Exactly, and let's segue into that. Segue, shall we? Porky, take it away.
Okay, so last year, if anyone you know is new enough not to know this, last year we did a 12-hour New Year's Eve show. We streamed it live, and we recorded 13 hours of a 12-hour show, 13 and a half, I think. And then we put it out as separate episodes on HPR. And the important part was that members of the Hacker Public Radio community, listeners, whether they had done a show or not, especially if you haven't done a show, people called in. They got online, they got on Mumble, got in the same room with us, and they participated in the show. And it was fantastic. It's one of my it's probably the highlight of the past year, but it's one of the highlights of my life to be part of something that was so significant to, you know, such a large community of people in a community that I care about. I typically trend away from large communities, but, you know, Hacker Public Radio is different, and it's very cool. So we wanted to do it again this year, and Ken was so confused in saying that it was 24 hours that it finally stuck. So we're going to do 24 hours this year instead of 12 hours.
No, I wanted it to be 24 hours.
Yeah, okay, well, clever manipulation you did there. So he wants to do 24 hours. And the reason for such a long show is that that's a 24-hour window within which anyone can call in, and we've removed all of your excuses at the same time, which is kind of convenient for us, so you have no excuse not to call in. Oh, I was at my in-laws, I was at blah, blah, blah. No, you got plenty of time. It's a 24-hour show, and you're our friend, and we want to hear from you. You're a Hacker Public Radio listener. You're one of us. Come participate, come be part of Hacker Public Radio.
I think what was really good about last year was that it turned out to be more than just Hacker Public Radio as a host thing. It was the Hacker Public Radio community invited on other podcasters that they also listen to. So in my role as, as a HPR host, I just happened to be a member of other communities, and you invite them in as well. And I really want the HPR community to go out and get other podcasters that you listen to come in and join in and say hello to their listeners, because it's not about one show having an event, that this is our event, because we couldn't have done it last year without a very fantastic help from the Linux Basics community, from the from the
Open Source podcast. Open Source Musicians Podcast. We use their server and their streaming. Pipe Man Music who had set that up, Pipe Man.
And I think K5 Tux and their podcast were in as well. So what I want people to do listening to this, if you've made it this far, an hour and 18 in, is to contact, contact other podcasters that you listen to and say, look, this thing is going on. Hacker Public Radio is a community podcast. It's not them. We're just kind of pushing it as a service to other podcasters. So if other people want to come in, we're going on the Linux Basic server anyway. So if they have kit and set up that they have, they might be able to help us and plug their infrastructure into the Mumble server, take a feed off that, and start streaming to their audience for however long that they wish to do that as well. So we need help that way.
And if you really want to help them out, and you can get their attention and they want to do this, help them set up Mumble so that they got good audio quality and can speak to their audience and to HPRs.
And we do need volunteers on the day. We need people to come on, do shows, have a little bit of segments when it's downtime. We need
Yep, and hosts. We need hosts, because I can be here from noon to midnight Eastern U.S. time, but that's about all I can do. It took me 3 days to edit it last year after that, and that was just cutting up. So if anybody even wants to take over some of that, that's fine, but I can commit to that much of it. So we need people to fill in the other 12 hours.
From the point of view of editing, what will be happening is it will break on the hour. Each hour will be divided up. It'll be run through the script, truncated silence, and it will be uploaded to the show, to the Ready to Rock in sequence. So there will be little or no editing. I will do the chopping if I can get the audio files from people. So
You'd rather break it at the hour than try to break it at conversational breaks?
Let's worry about that, but I want the to take regular stops, and because I'll be starting this thing off over in our site, so we'll be taking regular stops every now and again, take maybe 10 minutes past the hour or something, take a 5 minute break where we play some music or something, and then stop and restart the WAV file, make sure they're working, upload them to the FTP server, and then go on again.
Ken just wants to guarantee getting 24 shows out of this.
Yarp. You know me so well. Yeah. Becky. You know me so well.
And
we may not want to, we'll have to put them fairly close together, but we're going to run into the same trouble we had if we try to do them 24 shows all back to back. It'll be a month and a half before anybody else out.
It was only a week last year, so it's doable. We can do it. We can definitely do it within the first two. Reserve the first 2 weeks for it, and then whatever length of audio we have recorded, it will not go outside of the first 2 weeks of January. Yeah.
Yeah, and I want to make this explicitly clear. If you can hear this, you are invited. And this is a party. This is you know, come have fun. We're not doing this to it's not stuffy at all. We had a lot of fun with this last year, and that's the intention, is to have fun and to get a couple of shows out of it. But it's you know, mostly to have fun, to stir up excitement in Hacker Public Radio, and you know, that's what it's there for.
Yeah, can I just
probably can't count on the stream being safe for work.
No, it won't be.
No, well, Becky's on.
I was just going to say, actually, that last year's show was actually my first introduction to Hacker Public Radio and taking part. I'd met Ken in real life the August before at Og Camp, and you know, once we realised who he was and what he did, and so we sort of came along and joined in. And you know, since then we've been a part of the Hacker Public Radio community, and you know, loving it. You don't have to be male, you don't have to be a geek, you can be female, you can be, I mean, even our daughter sometimes, you know, she knows what we're doing, and I'm sure she would love to join in. It's just her nerves, but anyone can. But you're right, it's definitely not suitable for work.
She posts stuff on Twitter, like she posts, like the stuff she posts on Twitter, and she's afraid to come on to HPR. Are you serious?
Did you see the toilet roll post?
Yes, I did.
You should have seen the post that Philip was going to do back.
Over the top is correct. End of discussion.
I'm using her Twitter feed as a glimpse into the future of what I can expect in 5 to 6 years.
Having a teenage daughter is a joy sometimes.
So we're going to start this, Ken, if I get this right. We're going to start this at, 12:01 on the Dateline, right? Whatever that time is.
Yeah, I will start before that. So whenever the first zone hits, that's when we start. And whenever the last zone hits, that's when we stop. Or that's when we hand over to 5150 and Tisselwell.
To do the cleanup.
If they haven't died of alcohol poisoning by then.
Well, somebody's going to have to help me, because I don't understand his logic. But Cobra 2 says he can't be there because his wife's...
I don't understand that logic.
She listens at work. You get in a lot of trouble.
However, yes. But I think we need to focus on, it's the Hacker Public Radio party, where you as a bring all the other communities that there are out there, and let's get open doors, email all your favorite hosts and the favorite shows, and it's a good chance for them to come on, shoot the breeze, have a chat, and we need to get the open source musician guys back on.
I
was going to say, don't worry about me, but you guys need to realize you may well kill Thistleweb.
Now, I was
if he's say, not already killed himself before.
Yeah, the open source musician guys, I just haven't seen them in a while. And I, you know, when we were talking about choosing a server online, you know, I suggested that, or I seconded Ken's suggestion that we go with the Linux Basic server, just because it's been up and solid with lots and lots of users on it many times. And I hadn't even seen the open source musicians guys. I hope they don't take it as a slight. It was nothing personal or anything like that. Just I haven't seen them.
Okay, but actually, regardless, what we can do is try and get some daisy chaining going. We need to get people with Icecast servers. If you've got a server, know how to set up Icecast. We need people with how-tos. Kay Wisher there has set up, is suggesting that they're going to give help to users coming on with audio quality issues. You can go into another room called HPR Mumble Help or something, which we'll set up. I think, Pokey, closer to the day, you were getting volunteers from people. We definitely need to get Dan from the Linux Inc. Tech Show on. I want to get on board with giving us help how they pipe in audio and that sort of thing. Because I want to be able to, you know, if we're going to be doing 24 hours, I will need to go to the facilities from time to time, have dinner from time to time. And, you know, if people want to have a think about maybe each hour we put on a few Creative Commons songs or something and just have a discussion about the artists and that sort of thing. Yeah, we can do all that sort of stuff.
That doesn't have to be hard, Ken, piping in other music. But it does take a little bit of extra hardware. So the only way that I know to do it, you know, is to have your computer set up that you're using for Mumble, you know, just the way you're doing it anyway, but then have a second computer, and instead of plugging a microphone into it, plug an MP3 player into the mic input jack, the analog jack, with, you know, just like a double-ended, 3.5 millimeter cord, and then you can use that second computer to, you know, pipe the audio from your MP3 player in.
Oh,
I know,
okay,
it's a hack. I know it's crude, but it does work.
Oh, no, that's cool.
I know a lot of people that use, say, their Android device just by saying Mumble, and they can play that way. Red Dwarf been doing that for sound effects on Pod Brewers. We at least figure out how to do that. We don't have to have a separate player, and I think if you had a separate computer, it wouldn't be that hard to use Jack Redirect. And I even asked the guys over at the Open Source Music, it wasn't Pipe Man, it was the other guy that helped me out, but he suggested we try, if you wanted to do it all on one device, because I kind of wanted to do it as stealth thing, you know, not alert everybody, hey, I'm going to play a clip, but and that the reason for that's really gone past without me getting it done. But he said there's a way to do it with tie Hydrogen into Jack, and Hydrogen is a drum machine program, and I assume I haven't played with it yet. I assume that you could replace the drum riffs by just, you know, tracks that you wanted to play and use that for a soundboard.
Yeah, so there's at least three ways to do it, but just, you know, please test it before the day of. You know, if you want to do something.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. And when we were talking about open source music, guys out there, or not just guys, girls, everybody out there who's a musician, if you want something played as bumper music on the 24-hour show or interlude music, submit a link to admin at hackradio.org.
Thank you very much, 51. Perfect idea.
Yeah, great idea. Now, I want to say that I, you know, if you want to do that, it's great. I can't promise to play music all the time. I had a lot of music planned for last year, and we wound up, you know, it was difficult to squeeze in that one live song that Pipe Man did, because the conversation was so good, it would have been, you know, a sin to interrupt it and you know, play something that wasn't live. So,
yeah. 24 hours sounds like a long time, but if people continue to call in, then it's like you get a pretty much a refresh on all conversation every hour or so. It just it goes smoother, I think, than we realized last year.
Oh yeah, it was astonishing how smooth it went just because people were calling in and refreshing like that. You're absolutely right.
Doesn't matter. We can still take these shows regardless, and take the songs and stuff them into a queue of during the summer when things are a bit quiet.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right. And we can edit the music in later, too, if we don't get a chance to play it live.
Exactly.
Good
point. We won't be editing them then. We'll probably make another show, you know, suggested music for the New Year episode. Dude Man has also said that he does for his own podcast with Alsa Player and Jack. So what I want is, rather than us discussing it here as such, if people could email me your setups or your tutorials on admin@hackerpublicradio.org, and I'll put them onto a separate page onto the Hacker Public Radio website, which will probably be hijacked, which will probably be the main page for the entire episode. So that we can do that. Pokey, I do like your idea of the hardware thing, because I'm more reliable, I think, and I have a few spare players. I also would like your...
But it's nice because it's not broken by an apt-get update or some such thing.
Yeah, exactly. And there's a wire in there if it doesn't work, and you can move something else in. I also liked your idea of the FM transmitter thing, and I got one, and it broke.
Oh, really? Yeah, they're not... I don't know about in Europe, but the ones they sell in the States are terrible. They don't work well at all, and there's one particular one that is well enough understood that you can hack it to get it to broadcast further, and that just by luck happened to be the one that somebody gave me, and I was able to do that. So if you're in the States, don't count on that working unless you know you can broadcast, you know, further than that.
Well, I only needed it for a relatively small amount of time, and then the thing just burnt out. It just played, you know.
That's a real bummer.
Yeah, it's just very depressing and sad. Dude Man, that's very nice, but can you email it to me? Tutorial and documentation.
I even had it in mind this year. I almost was able to get a wireless microphone, like, you know, one that you'd use at a podium or giving a speech or something like that, with a whole big receiver. I was going to do that, you know, too, but I couldn't get my hands on that.
Oh, bummer. Yeah, my only, I normally use a big long extension cord. It's just the handiest thing for me.
Yeah, well, you probably can't transmit through your brick wall house anyway, so.
Yeah, true enough. However, my house is not that big because I'm but a poor person.
You're filling it with kids.
Yeah, that's true. Okay, yes, Nightwisher asks, who's going to do the streaming? Yes, very good question. So there will be a limited number of people in the chat usually. What I will be doing is there will be a PC. Yes, K-Wisher, everybody's going to be streaming. So what we will do is one or two accounts in the Mumble Room will stream to Central Icecast, and from there people can mirror the stream. How does that sound? I have no clue. I'm just sounding professional.
Yeah, I think we have one or two very strong Icecast servers that have a lot of bandwidth behind them, and I think we utilized them last year. And I think we were planning on using those again. So those servers will either, you know, take the stream right off the Mumble chat if they can, or else, you know, somebody who's got the streaming figured out will pipe the Mumble chat into those streaming servers. And if you want to stream, if you want to help out, you can tap off of those. So, you know, it increases the delay, but it spreads out the bandwidth load so that we're not hammering the server that we're using for Mumble. We're only asking it to do one or two streams instead of, you know, chewing up that bandwidth that we're going to need for all our guests and everybody.
Just a quick question. Have you spoken to door-to-door? Because I know the new radio.net, they have unlimited bandwidth. I'm sure he would definitely set up a connection and just leave it running all the time, you know?
Yes, that's something that we definitely need to do.
A very wise man.
They volunteered the mobile server in the first place. So.
A very wise man once said, unlimited bandwidth just means you agree not to know what your limitations are.
Yeah, but I think...
Yeah. Go ahead. I think it's in this case, it's not so applicable. I think that it was pretty solid.
No, I wasn't saying that. I just meant that, you know, if it can be spread around, it doesn't hurt.
Sure. Definitely.
What I would like to do, though, is get this set up at least a week beforehand. So we have here in this room is a permanent connection. So anything going through this permanent connection will go through the mirror connection, the mirror network, so that we would have that up well in advance.
Yeah, we had last year, we didn't have a chance to set it up beforehand. We never could line that up. So it was set up the day of, and we were in here in the Mumble chat, and there was about 20 people in here. You know, nobody was saying anything because they wanted to wait till it started, but, you know, it was kind of like an awkward, it felt like standing in an elevator that wouldn't move, and it was like completely packed, and it took a little while to get everything up and running.
Yeah, so, I think the plan is get the thing running, and then we can do a pre-show of, you know, truncate silence, and then you put that out as a pre-show afterwards. That we'll start it at 12 and then go from there. Yep. But I definitely don't want to be like on the day messing with Mumble servers and streaming servers and all the rest of it, but just have the thing go. Oh, and we need to record some sort of promo thing to send out to other podcasters.
You want to do that now?
Yes.
All right, not Klaatu. I always call you not Klaatu when I see your name. Klaatu, you want to start it off?
Really?
Yeah, people like
what
you.
What are we saying? Just like, join us on Hacker Radio?
Now you're the software, you be free, hacker. No, it's a party. It's the HPR New Year's party. Everyone come and join.
Hacker Public Radio, New Year's party. Everyone come and join.
Well, it's not... Try not to push the Hacker Public Radio part. It's the...
Maybe we should have Becky do it.
I'm not singing it.
Go.
Hi, everyone. What are you doing on New Year's Eve? I know. You're fed up of turkey. You're fed up of alcohol. Come and join the Mumble server to join in with the New Year's Eve party on Hacker Public Radio.
I'm drinking alcohol.
Nice. Yeah, we're going to have alcohol.
They might be well sick of it by then.
They may indeed.
Okay, with that, I'm calling it a halt. Thank you very much, everybody, for tuning in, and we will probably be sending out
Hang on
updates.
A minute.
What?
Other people need to record as well.
Oh, we got it. You did it. That's it. It's done.
Bugger off, not just me.
That was it. You said sounded we were going to have alcohol, and Pokey and I said we were.
You fuckers!
That's in there, too.
Okay, does anybody else want to record the show? Can we end the HBR show and then do the bumpers afterwards, please?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, everybody say goodbye, starting with Boba Bex.
Goodbye, good night, and thank you for listening. You're awesome.
Phenomenal.
Oh, bye.
Dude man.
Thank you. Goodbye, everybody.
5150.
See you at the party, everyone.
Gay Wisher, come on, say goodbye. And that's goodbye for who? Goodbye from Nito. And it's goodbye from Notlatu.
Bye, everybody.
And Pokey.
Hi. Good night, guys. Thanks for letting me be part of it again.
Howdy, folks. This is 5150 for Hacker Public Radio. Remember how much fun we had last New Year's during the 13-hour live podcast and party? We're going to have twice as much fun this year celebrating the full 24 hours of New Year's Eve with guests from your favorite podcasts and hosts from around the world. You're invited to join in on Mumble when you can and listen on the live stream when you can't. The details will be posted on www.hackerpublicradio.org.
Want to do something different this coming New Year's Eve? Want to make some new friends, share some laughs and give something back to the community? Then please come along and join in with the Hacker Public Radio New Year's Eve show, a 24-hour Ogcast marathon. We're running for the full 24 hours starting from Monday, December the 31st at 1200 UTC. I'll be there and I really want to spend my New Year's Eve getting to know you too. Full participation details are available at www.hackerpublicradio.org.
Hi everyone, this is Klaatu. You may or may not know me from Hacker Public Radio, and it turns out we're throwing a party on New Year's Eve, and everyone's invited, whether you've listened to Hacker Public Radio or not, whether you've contributed or not, you should stop in on the Mumble server, mumble.openspeak.cc, port 64747. You can use any username you want. Drop in, say hi, eavesdrop, whatever you want to do. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's going for 24 hours. That's right, UTC minus 12. The whole UTC day, we'll be broadcasting all day, all night, and we want you to join us.
Hey everybody, this is Pokey from Hacker Public Radio. We're putting on another party like the New Year's Eve party we had last year. If you have a computer and you can get Mumble working on it, we want you to join us on New Year's Eve. When is the party going to be? It's going to be all day. It's a 24-hour party, so you have plenty of time to call in and participate. If you're a podcaster, if you're a podcast listener, come and join us because this is our thing. This is our party. We're getting together and we're doing it live. We're going to stream it live and we're going to rebroadcast the recording later. The information is all available at hackerpublicradio.org. Please come along and join us on New Year's Eve.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HBR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HBR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All Binrev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution, Share Alike, 3.0 license.